239 years we have been a nation in the United States of America. No democracy on earth has lived as long as we have. Since the United States became a nation 239 years ago, 14 times France has turned over their national leadership. In the 20th century alone, Russia had 4 changes of government. Afghanistan had 5 changes. Poland had 7 changes. And we know that every time a government changes, there's always violence and bloodshed. We have none, thank God, in 239 years. But not only has democracy lived as long, few would disagree that God has prospered America in many ways. Let's talk about the economic prosperity for just a moment. Our gross domestic product used to be the gross national product. They call it gross domestic product now. Is number one in the world, 60% greater than China, and China has 4 times as many people. We have by far more automobiles than anybody in the whole world. That is nothing but God's blessing. And despite all that we know is wrong in America today, and despite how far we have strayed from God in the last few years, far more people want to come to America than are wanting to leave, wouldn't you say? Nobody's trying to get out. Everybody's trying to get into America because they equate American life, they equate America with success and prosperity. Why is that? That's because God's blessings have been on our nation. Many historians would argue, many Christian historians would argue that the amazing prosperity just didn't happen. And as I said, it's because God has had His hand on America. He's blessed America, and that's the reason we have been blessed so greatly. And they would also say that America has been blessed because Americans have made good on God's promise. Now, God's promise is in Psalm 33, so let's do take a look at that one verse as we begin. Psalm 33, verse 12 says this, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people He has chosen for His own inheritance." And these historians would tell us, the very beginning, America's God was the Lord. And the Bible says, blessed are those nations whose God is the Lord. Now, in my message today, I want to try to get this across to you, that without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, this is true. Yes, the reason America has been blessed is because our nation was founded on the Bible and on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I want us to understand that without a shadow in our doubts. That is our roots. That's our history. But first I want us to notice what God has promised to bless. And notice it carefully. He said, blessed are those, verse 12, blessed are those whose nation is God is the Lord. Now, in your Bible, notice closely the word Lord. It is with small caps. Every letter a capital, L-O-R-D. Now, that is because in the Hebrew, every time you see the word Lord capitalized, it translates the word Yahweh. That is the personal Jehovah, God of Jehovah. That is Jehovah God, the personal God of the Hebrews. There's many names for God in the Bible, but this is the most intimate name that God ever gave to His people, the word Yahweh. That's what the word Lord means. Now, so what he's saying is, blessed are those nations whose God is Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are the only nations that God blesses. Now, you see, the reason he points that out, the reason I point this out today is we live in a day of tremendous religious pluralism. Someone has done a study, and they've come up with the figure that there are about 4,200 different religions in the world. Now, a lot of these are little sects, little small religions, but 4,200 different ways people look up to God. Can you imagine that? And many people say there is no way to say that one religion is better than another. Well, as the old boy who flunked English time and time again would put it, that just ain't so. That ain't so. The Bible says God blesses only one kind of nation, and that's the nation who worships Jehovah God. That is the only nation He'll bless. Psalm 96:5 says this, "For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." And the nations God refers to that worship idols are all the nations apart from Israel. They worship idols, and the Lord does not bless them. And the Bible says He only blesses one nation. That's the nation that worships the Lord. But listen, the skeptics still might say, well, how do we know? How do we know for sure that the gods of the nations are not really the God of Israel? Just another name for the God of Israel. Well, I have a book in my library that asks the same question. The book in my library's title is this: Is the Father of Jesus the God of Mohammed? In other words, do Christians and Muslims pray to the same God, just a different name? How do you know the answer is not yes? And if you carry that logic out further, how do you know that 4,200 different religions are not all praying to the same God? Well, lucky for us, or blessed are we, they had the same problem in the New Testament era. And John addresses that question in the book of 1 John. Listen to what John says in 1 John chapter 5. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Did you get what John said? He said this Jesus Christ, He is the true God and eternal life. 2 John 1, 9 says this: Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. John is saying that the true God is Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say that anyone who does not believe the teaching of Christ, which includes Jesus died for our sins, He was buried, He rose again. John says whoever does not believe that He is the divine Son of God who died for the sins of the world does not have God, and whatever else they worship, it is an idol. Now, beloved, let me say to you, we must tenaciously hold to that truth. We must never let it go. We must always hold the line that Jesus Christ is the only way to the true God. Paul put it this way, 1 Timothy 2:5. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Therefore, we reject Buddhism, we reject Hinduism, we reject Islam, we reject Mormonism. May I tell you, all of these four religions are growing at a lightning pace in America, much more so than Christianity. But we reject them because they all reject Jesus Christ as being the Son of God, the only Savior. And we know that those who follow those religions serve a false God. Isaiah said in chapter 41, all who worship false gods are an abomination. They are an abhorrence to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that neither fornicators nor idolaters shall inherit the kingdom of God. Friends, there's a price tag for worshiping a false god, and it is eternity in hell. But you hear what God is saying? He's saying, blessed is the nation who worships the Lord, and those who do not worship the Lord are not blessed. Now, friends, that ought to put fear in our bones today, because we are a nation that is drifting year by year away from the worship of the true God. So what do we do in the face of all this growth of these false religions that are springing up all around us? What do we do? Well, first of all, we love their followers. We love them because, you see, they are souls for whom Jesus Christ died. And unless they know the truth, they'll spend eternity away from Christ. We love them with all our hearts. But for the good of our country, we firmly declare that they have a false faith. We don't pussyfoot around. We don't mince words. We lovingly tell them, you worship a false god. We seek to warn them that they may consider coming to Christ and being saved and being on God's team. That's what we do if we're true to our own faith. Now, we see that God blesses the nation whose God is the Lord. And that was certainly the case in 1776. Without a doubt. But you know, there are some who feel that's not the case. There are some out there who flatly deny we were founded on Christian principles. But I want to share with you a few facts today that verify we once were a nation who followed the Lord. if you remember some of your history in high school and junior high, you may remember hearing that George Washington and many other of our founding fathers were deists. Now, a deist is someone who believes in God, but they just simply believe that the God out there created the earth, created the heavens and the earth, and just stood back and just kind of wound it up like a clock and took his hands off, and the whole thing's winding down by itself. And that George Washington was one of those deists. He did not believe in a personal God who heard and answered prayers. He did not believe in a God who intervened for his people. That's who they say Washington was. But they evidently did not get their hands, or they did not read a certain book Washington wrote when he was just about 20 years old. It is called The Daily Sacrifice. It is a record of some of his prayers as a teenage kid. And listen to a couple of those prayers. Here's what George Washington wrote. Direct my thoughts, my words, and my work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb. Purge my heart by thy Holy Spirit. Daily frame me more and more into the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ. That's what Washington prayed. He prayed another prayer. Thou gavest thy Son to die for me, and hast given me assurance of my salvation. Upon my repentance and sincerely endeavoring to conform my life to his holy precepts and example. Washington knew how to pray to the true and the living God because he knew the living God. There was a story written in Peter Marshall's book, The Light and the Glory, that's an amazing testimony of God's hand on George Washington. And I share it with you. Washington was in the war, the French and Indian War, as some of you might remember in history. And an old Indian chief told this story years after that war ended. He said that during that war, he and his warriors met George Washington and his army in a battle. And he said Washington was fully exposed up there on that horse, and they had rifles the French had given them. And the old chief said, get that guy. Make sure he's dead, because if he's dead, then their army will just dissipate. And so they all were just focused in on Washington. And here's what the old chief said. In that battle, they shot two horses out from under Washington. When the smoke had cleared, the dust had settled, George Washington discovered there were four musket balls that had passed through his uniform, but he was unscathed. And here's what the chief said after this battle was over. Our rifles were leveled at him, and our rifles knew not how to miss except him. 'Twas all in vain. A power mightier far than we shielded him from harm. He cannot die in battle. Listen, the Great Spirit protects that man and guides his destinies. He will become the chief of nations, and a people yet unborn will hail him as the founder of a mighty empire. What could have been more prophetic than that, dear friends? There's no doubt about it. The most famous founding father we have was protected and anointed by Almighty God. But let me just share with you a few more stories of our heritage. A few years ago, someone did a study on 15,000 writings of our founding fathers. And they wanted to see where did our founding fathers get their information to write all the stuff they wrote. And so they did a study, 15,000 writings. And they lifted 3,150 quotes from these guys. And just to see where they were, who they were quoting. Well, one guy they quoted prolifically was a guy named Charles Montesquieu, a Frenchman. 8.3% of the quotes were from Charles Montesquieu. Another guy they quoted second in line was William Blackstone, an Englishman. 7.9 quotes were from William Blackstone. But I shouldn't have said Montesquieu was number one. The Bible was number one. You know how many quotes those founding fathers lifted from the Bible? 34% of the time when they quoted, it was from God's holy word. Friends, they were grounded in the word. Well, the beliefs of our founding fathers in the Constitution, the framers of the Constitution, it just kind of kept on spreading to, of all places, the Supreme Court in those early days. In 1844, our court handed down a ruling against Girard College. Now, here's what this college had said. They said it's possible to have morality and to have righteousness without consulting the Bible. And so they developed a completely secular university. Part of their rules in this college was there can be no Bible taught. And they were so strict, they said, we will not even allow a Christian minister to be on campus. Well, somebody took them to court on that one. And the Supreme Court ruled against them. And here's what the Chief Justice wrote. Why may not the Bible, especially the New Testament, be read and taught as a divine revelation in the school? Its general precepts expounded, its evidence explained, and its glorious principles of morality inculcated. Where can the purest principles of morality be learned so clearly or so perfectly as from the New Testament? This was the Supreme Court Chief Justice. Well, in 1892, someone else began to try to restrict the liberties of Christian people, and the court again voted unanimously to protect the liberties of all those who worship God. And here's what their ruling said. Listen to this. No purpose of action against religion can be imputed to any legislation, state or national, because this is a religious people. This is a Christian nation. The Supreme Court made that statement in 1892. This is a Christian nation. Let's look at two more examples quickly. One of the most visited monuments in Washington is the Washington Monument. Many of you have been there. It took 40 years to build. It was completed in 1888. But what a lot of folks don't know, that on the top of that monument is an aluminum cap with two Latin words on it. And those two Latin words are Laus Deo, which means praise be to God. Right on the top of the Washington Monument. That monument has 800 and some odd steps on it. 898. Some dear souls try to walk up those things. And I tell you, rather than riding the elevator, there would be one of them. But 898. It has 50 landings on the way up to the top. 50 landings. Now listen to three of the landings. On one of those landings, on the 12th landing, is a prayer offered by the city of Baltimore. On the 20th is a memorial presented by a group of Chinese Christians. And on the 24th landing, there's a presentation made by school children quoting Proverbs 10:7, Proverbs 22:6, and Luke 18:6. By the way, Luke 18:6 says this, let the little children come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Listen, that's what's in our heritage in the Washington Monument. One more. I want to give you a quote by Chief Justice Earl Warren. And some of y'all remember Earl Warren back in the early 50s? He made this quote 61 years ago. I believe that no one can read the history of our country without realizing the good book and the spirit of the Savior, which have from the beginning been our guiding genius. Whether we look at the first charter of Virginia or New England or the charter of Massachusetts Bay, the same objective is present, a Christian land governed by Christian principles. I believe the entire Bill of Rights came into being because of the knowledge of our forefathers and the knowledge they had of the Bible and their belief in it. I would like to believe today that we are living in the spirit of the Christian religion. I would also like to believe that as long as we do this, no harm can come to our great country. Chief Justice Earl Warren, 1954. I'll tell you, not since the birth of Israel, God's chosen people, has God had his hand on any nation more than he's had on America. And to deny that, as some do, is just to stick your head in the sand and to deny undeniable proofs. But we know, we all know, that we've strayed far, far away from our roots. For years now, our government has been hostile to the expression of our faith in public places, beginning with the removal of prayer in 1962, and then the removal of Bible reading in 1963 from our schools. And now our kids can't even sing Silent Night at a Christmas program, and we can't even put up a nativity scene on a city hall lawn out front. We just can't do it anymore. We all know that. But at the same time, when our rights have been taken away from us, you know what our government's doing? It's giving rights to all those cults I mentioned a few moments ago. Back in 2007, there was an article about how one government agency had actually given the Muslims permission to do their prayers in a public school. They spread their prayer rugs out, and they prayed in a public school. And only a few years later, the Supreme Court that was lauding our Christian heritage, that same Supreme Court denied a Christian group on a college campus there any validity because they refused to receive homosexuals. Do you see what's happening? Our courts are giving rights to the cultists and taking away rights from Christians. That's what's happening in our day to day. Instead of saying, God bless America, we ought to be singing, God forgive America. So what do you think God would say to us on our 239th birthday? What would God's message be to us on our birthday? Well, Psalm 33 tells us what God would say to us. When all the political and economic pundits are crying gloom and doom, God has hope for you and I in America. Let's see what He says to us. Look at Psalm 33. There's a number of words that I want to see the Lord would say to us today. Let's just begin reading, if we will, in verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for prayer from the upright is beautiful. For praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to Him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. In these verses, the psalmist tells us, those who are righteous, to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is talking about those who know the Lord. Those who know Yahweh, the Lord. And he says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, may I say this? For 21st century readers, Yahweh, the Lord, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, I don't know about you, but as we were singing a few moments ago, glory, glory, hallelujah, His truth is marching on. Oh, listen, friends, victory in Jesus, that's what He's talking about. No matter how bad it gets in this country, we can praise the Lord. Amen. Now, let's talk about this thing about Yahweh and Jesus for a moment. He says, praise the Lord to our generation. That's Jesus. Now, how can we say that? Yahweh, Jesus. Well, do you remember that great debate that Jesus had with the Pharisees in John 8 considering His identity, who He was? They accused Him of being a half-breed. They accused Him of having a Jewish mother and a Samaritan father. You half-breed. They were putting Him down to the highest degree. And Jesus said, He replied by saying that he who keeps His word shall never die. Keep my word, you'll never die. And then they say, wait a minute, what are you saying? You're not yet 50 years old. How can you say, are you greater than Abraham, our father? Are you greater? And Jesus replied, well, tell you the truth, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. And that word, I am, in the Greek, is the same word as Yahweh in the Old Testament. And what Jesus was saying to those Pharisees, He said, what He was really saying was, guys, you know this God that you worship, you've been worshiping, the Old Testament God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? You know that God? Well, boys, you're looking at Him. Yes, He's Yahweh. Those who worship Yahweh are blessed. We rejoice and we glory and we praise Him. Because you see, friends, if we've got Yahweh as our God, Jesus, we don't need Uncle Sam to meet our needs. We've got the God of the universe meeting our needs. We don't need the government. He will meet our needs. We don't need Wall Street. We don't need Uncle Sam to do anything. Now, let's look at some reasons. Let's look at His promises. Let's back this up a little bit. Look at verse 4. Psalm 33. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is done in truth. Friends, listen. God's word is right today. Every promise He's made you is good. You can go to the bank on it. You can stake your life on it. That's the reason we can rejoice. He'll take care of me no matter what. All hell can break loose. The Russians can come tomorrow and they can take us all off to Moscow and put us in the labor camps. Hey, I'm still going to be okay. The word of the Lord, His promises are good for me. Now, if you will, look down in verse 18 and 19. Same chapter. Behold, The eyes of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy. Let me tell you, friend, if you know Jesus, His eye is on you right now. You are in His favor at this very moment. You are a vessel of mercy, the Bible says. Those who hope in His mercy, His eyes is on them to deliver the soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Friends, listen, just like old George Washington, the devil's not going to get your soul. He's not going to get your body until God gets ready for you to go. Your body is in His care if you're walking in Him. Now, I'll tell you, you step out of God's will long enough, and the Lord may say, okay, devil, just go ahead and destroy the body. Paul says that in the New Testament. As long as you're walking with Jesus, friend, you are protected from every physical attack of the devil. Not only that, he says, look at it again in verse number 19, and to keep them alive in famine. He'll not only keep your body, He'll meet all your needs. Whatever you need, whatever physical need you have, He will keep. If you don't believe that, just ask Elijah. Oh, Elijah, he didn't have anything to eat, and the birds came and fed him. And after God said, okay, move away from the brook, then the widow fed him. Friend, listen, when the Lord's your Lord, God meets every single need. Hallelujah. His promises are good. But look at His principles. Not only His promises, but His principles. Look at verse 5. Psalm 33. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We talked about this a little last week. Friends, listen. God is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. Never has He treated you unfairly. Everything He's ever done toward you is right and good. You can thank God. He never has a bad day. He will always treat you perfectly. Hallelujah. We have a righteous Father who is righteous in all His ways. But not only that, He's kind in all His ways. Look at the last part of verse 5. Not only righteous, but verse 5 also says, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Listen, His love will never fail you. Paul says, who can separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to tell you, friends, no matter how far away you stray, you cannot be separated from His love. Hallelujah. He's righteous. He's loving. His principles are what we can rejoice in today. But look at one more thing. We can also rejoice in His power. You know, in the last several years, there's been a power shift in America in two ways. Two ways. First of all, our national power has been sapped from us as far as world influence. People don't look to America like they did 20 years ago, 15 years ago. Who are they looking to now? The European community. The United Nations. We used to be the voice that everybody listened to. Not anymore. Our power is eroding. And by the way, says that in Scripture, in the last days, says it. But there's another way our power is being eroded. And that is on the local level. Our federal government is just stripping all our personal rights away from us right and left. And we know that. Our power is being eroded. Now, do we throw up our hands? Do we say, oh, woe is me? No, we do not. We do not. Look at verse 6 and 7. Look what it says. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the water of the sea together in a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. It was the Lord who made the heavens. It was the Lord, Jesus, who made the angelic beings that occupy the heavens. It's the Lord who gathered those primordial waters together and created dry land. You know, a few years ago, our government was just wringing our hands. When you remember the oil spill in the Gulf. They've just now settled the thing. But remember how the gut just didn't know what to do at all with all that oil? Listen, God had no problem with that. I mean, God wanted to just siphon all that oil out in a blink of an eye. Our God is a God of total power. And beloved, He is watching out for His children, and we have no fear. Beloved, listen, if you read this book carefully, you'll see that not only is America straying from God, but the whole world is on a path away from God. There's a few small pockets of revival, bless God, still in this world. I read just the other day of a revival breaking forth in the little land of Fiji, and God is all over that country. And that gives us hope that we can still pray for revival in America, but by and large, our world is going away from... We're just like the folks at Babel. They were all looking up to God and saying, we know how to run our life better than you. But friend, that's okay. I didn't feel that way, but our God is a God who is still in control. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. The Lord brings the counsels of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. Our God still reigns in this world of heathenism. Bless God. So if you know Jesus as your Savior, you can rejoice on this 5th of July that we have a kingdom that will never end. You know, someone just pointed out to us, a few of our men the other day, one of our men said, you know, you can check out history and even the strongest empires, even the Roman Empire, did not last for about 300 years and it fell. You know, America is living on borrowed time. Do you know that? We're older than most empires that have ever existed on the earth, and we are living on, but you know what? If you're a member of God's kingdom, I'm going to tell you, your kingdom never ends. Amen. Amen. Bless God, there's hope in that in this day and age, no matter how far or how bad it gets. Thank you, Jesus. But here's the deal. Are you a member of that kingdom?